Edius, Perk Base, Mishnah Hey, 2-5. New topic. The Mishnah says, Shlosha Devarim Amr Lufnei Rabbi Yishmael. There were three matters which were raised to Rabbi Yishmael, meaning they were asking him to give a ruling. V'lo Amar Behem Lo Iser Veheter. And he declined to rule on these matters, whether, you know, Asur Motar, Tamei Tar. So, notwithstanding that, Uvershan Rabbi Yoshua ben Masya. Rabbi Shum ben Masya did explain them. The issue is, you see, that in all three of these cases, the answer is sort of like, it depends, it's complicated, and therefore Rabbi Shmuel didn't want to get into the weeds with it, but this Rabbi Yeshua ben Masya did. The first case is, Hamefis Mursia b'Shabbos. Someone who's lancing a boil, kind of like popping a big pustule to drain the pus out of it on Shabbos. So the question is that mutter? So the issue here is the malach of boneh, construction, because to make a Pesach, an opening, which is there and for an ongoing basis allows things to be machnis umotzi, allows the things he brought in and to be taken out from through the new hole, the new portal, the new aperture opening. So that's considered to be bona and a malacha. So the question is that applicable over here? Now, really, if you're doing something that is not machnis and motzi, it's not there for bringing in and out, it's not like a bona fide hole, and it'll be aser midrabanan. So the question is, what's happening over here with this pustule? If a person is essentially kind of trying to make like an opening which will stay open, which would allow the pus to drain out and fresh air to get in so that whatever is not well there will heal, that's being machnis and motzi, and that would be an iser doraisa. But if all you're doing is really just puncturing it so that the pus will drain, so that's not a real doraisa pesach, not an opening on an aperture on a doraisa level. And although certainly you are doing something on a derabanan level, here the rabbis are makel. So the issue is that if you're, in this case, if all you're doing on the whole force that the pus should go out, so that's called a malacha sheinat tzricha lagufa, a malacha that's, you're doing a malacha intentionally, no doubt about it, but you're doing it not for the sake of the malacha per se. And I'll explain what that means in just a moment. And no, that's a machlokas tanaim. Rabbi Yehuda says it's forbidden. Rabbi Shimon says it's permitted. This mission is going to like Rabbi Shimon, that it's permitted. Malacha sheinat lagufa is permitted. And what that means like this. Although certainly you're going to have to make a hole to get the pus out, and making a hole is a malacha, the thing is that the person who's puncturing this pustule, he doesn't care about the hole at all. He would be just as happy or happier if the pus could disappear without the hole. So he doesn't want the hole. The hole's only there because he needs to get the pus out. So since he doesn't care about the hole one bit, he's not doing the hole for the sake of having the hole. He's doing the hole just as a way to find a way to get the pus out because there's no other way to do it. So that's called malacha shein tzrich lagufa. And again, like I said before, it's aser midrabanan. Now, usually it would be aser, but in this case, the rabbis are lenient and said, listen, since this whole pustule is very uncomfortable for a person, so the rabbis didn't forbid it because of a person's discomfort. Now, the Mishnah itself will say in a moment that it's patur. Now, throughout the whole of Hilchos Shabbos, patur means patur aval asar. Patur means exempt. It means you're exempt from bringing a korban, but it's still forbidden. So, meaning patur in Hilchos Shabbos talking means asar midrabanan. There are three exceptions to that rule, and two of those exceptions are right here in our Mishnah. So the first one we're seeing right now is the Mephis Morsa, the puncturing of a pustule, of a like a boil, to let it drain. The Mishnah says it's pater, but it means pater umutter, you're allowed to do it. Okay, so the Mishnah says inside, back here, it says, Hamephis Morsa b'Shabbos, one who punctures or lances a boil on Shabbos, im la'asos la'peh. If his purpose is to make an opening, the peh here means an opening so that the pus can drain on an ongoing basis and fresh air could get in. So then, like he puts a stent or something to open it up and keep it open, so then chayav, that'd be forbidden on Shabbos. And therefore one would be liable to a chatas, etc. Vim lahotzi memena lecha, if the only purpose of this puncturing of the boil is that it can, the moisture inside, the pus can drain, and that's all, since it's a malacha shein tzrich laguf, he doesn't want the hole at all, really, then pater, he'll be exempt as opposed to chayiv. But in fact, like I said before, pater here means pater, and it's mutter, one may do it. It's one of the three examples in Shas where pater and Shabbos means pater and mutter. And other ones here in the Mishnah here. We'll see in a moment. Next case, and the third case not mentioned in our Mishnah has to do with essentially sitting down at the entrance of a room and trapping a deer and the like. Okay, but that's not for now. So the second case of our Mishnah is Val Hatzad Nachash B'Shabbos, one who traps a snake on Shabbos. So here the issue is that Seida, trapping, is also a malacha d'oraisa. It's one of the 39 malachas. You can't trap on Shabbos. But the purpose of trapping is so you should have the animal so you can, you know, eat it or have its hide or something. And in the case here of the trapping of a snake, one isn't interested in, like, in trapping the snake. He just wants to confine the snake so it doesn't hurt somebody. He doesn't care to have the snake. He would just as happily, you know, snap his fingers and make the snake disappear. Or if the snake would, you know, run away, he'd be even happier. So the point is, what does he need to confine it for? He only confines it so that it shouldn't hurt somebody else. Here we're talking, of course, about a situation where the snake could, you know, harm someone and bother them, but it couldn't kill them. If it would be a potentially lethal situation of a dangerous snake that could kill someone, then, you know, it's all bets are off. We're in a different issue of Safek Pekuach Nefesh. But that's not what's happening here. We're just seeing a snake which is going to cause disturbance or bother or pain. So, may one confine that snake on Shabbos, even though trapping is usser? That's the question. So the Mishnah says, Im misasek shelo yishkenu. If the reason why one's getting involved with a snake is just to confine it so that it won't bite somebody, and that's the only issue, he doesn't want the snake per se, then pater, then it'll be exempt from confining it. Again, here exempt means unusually pater or mutter, you're allowed to do it. Again, it's asr midrabanan, to the malacha shein tzrich legufa, even according to Rabbi Shimon, who's mekel, but in this case, since the rabbis were concerned about people's distress, they said you're allowed to do it. V'im l'rafua. But if you're confining the snake because you want the snake for some medical reason, or you want to milk the snake to get the venom to make an anti-venom or something like that, so then chayev, since you're trapping the snake to have the snake, that's a malacha that is for its own sake, and therefore be malacha d'oraisa, and be chayev for achatas or the like. Fine. The third case is a little different and a little complicated. It has to do with earthenware vessels receiving tumah, becoming tumah. So you recall, we actually had early in the Masechta, we talked about how the way in which an earthenware vessel, a kli cheres, becomes tummy is through its toch, its airspace within the cavity of the earthenware vessel. And if it's closed from the outside, remember it's tamid pasil, if it's like sealed from the outside, so that no, there's no open, I'll call it air exposure to the, let's call it the ohel, under the same roof there. So then even if there's a corpse in the same roof as the sealed off utensil, the utensil remains tahor. The particular case of our Mishnah here, is the question isn't just if this utensil becomes tummy. It's if it can become tummy at all and if it's susceptible to tumah yet. So here's the thing. If you have a kli and it's sealed and it's earthenware, so it's true that if someone touches on the outside or it's in, even in an ohel with a mace, it remains tahor. But the most certain types of people are strong enough source of tumah, they can convey tumah not just through direct contact of maga, but even through what's called heset. Heset means moving something or bearing its weight. Just don't get confused here. The Mishnah will use the word masa. You shouldn't confuse masa and heset. They're not quite the same, okay? Masa, which is not really the topic of our Mishnah, although the Mishnah uses the word, means to carry. And it refers to, like, let's say, for example, an avela, the corpse of, let's say, a dead horse. So the dead horse conveys tumah by maga, directly touching the dead horse, or by masa, if you would bear the weight of the horse. If you have, let's say, pork chops, that's like, you know, pork carcass in your backpack, so then you carry the backpack around, you become tummy because the actual kazayas of flesh of the dead animal, in this case it's a pig, would convey tumah through masa, by bearing its weight. But in the case of masa, the source of tumah is being borne, it's being carried. Whereas in Heset, the source of tumah is doing the carrying or the moving. Okay? So a zav, a person, a man who's a zav, or a zava, or a yoledes, or a nida, those four people who have different tumah sources coming out of them, those people convey tumah not just through direct contact maga, but also by heset, amongst other things. So therefore, if they move something or bear its weight, carry it, they will convey tumah to the thing that they're carrying. So the way that you can think about it is that if a zav conveys tumah through heset, what he's doing by carrying something, what he's doing is like it's like a very intense touching. It's as if he touched every inch of it at the same time, so to speak. And therefore, if you have an earthenware vessel, even though if you touch an earthenware vessel from the outside, you won't make it tumah. If you move it as a zav, zavanidioledes, so then it's as if you touched all sides of it, even the inside of it, meaning that the earthenware vessel, which is moved or carried by zav, zav, and nidioledes, becomes tameh also. So, the case of our Mishnah is, what happens if you have an earthenware, like, ball? You think of it as like, you know, like a basketball made out of clay that's been fired. And the plan is they're going to crack it open like an egg and have two halves. And then, you know, the poor people, the villagers, will use that as like, you know, I don't know, like a salad bowl. Okay, a salad bowl. Simple, rudimentary kind of bowls. serving bowls or the like. Okay? So, the question is, while it's still closed, like it's a closed ball, a sphere, can it become tummy? So the basic gist of the Mishnah is going to say, at least part one is going to say, well, it can't become, cannot become tummy through ohel, because it's like tzamid pasil, it's closed on all sides. There's no toch that's exposed to the ohel. So if you have a corpse and this like ball out of the oven, out of the kiln, that's been fired but hasn't been opened yet, it remains tahor. However, if a zav, or for that matter a zava or a nida or a yoledes, will move or carry this kind of clay ball, even though it hasn't been opened yet, even though there's no toch, inner part exposed, still, if the zav carries it, it's as if he touched everything, and therefore he touched the inside too, and therefore he makes it tummy. So the point is that while, and generally speaking, an earthenware vessel which is closed on the outside can't become tummy, an exception is a zav, or one of those zava nidia lettuce, doing heset, moving it or carrying it, okay? That's what our Mishnah here says, for starters. It says, va'al lefasin ironis, excuse me, ironios. So lefasin, the word lefes, like ilfas, is like kind of like a soup tureen or like a serving bowl. We'll call it like the salad bowl, if you will, or a chalent pot, something like that. You know that you're serving things in to the table. And ironios, so there's different girsos here. If it's an ayin, it means like villager. If it's with an aleph, it means sealed. But whatever it is, it's the same idea. It's this big sphere, like I told you, that's closed off. And the plan is that you make it on the potter's wheel. It's like a ball with an opening, like a hollow in the inside. You fire it in the kiln, and then afterwards you crack it open like an egg. And you have two broken halves, but each half can be working as like a bowl. So while it hasn't been cracked open yet, so the question is, Shem Tahoros Bo'ohel Hameis. They will be, if they're in an Ohel Hameis, they remain Tahor, because they can't become Tameh, because there's no Toch that's exposed to the airspace of the Ohel, of the common roof area, whatever. And Utameos B'masa HaZav, but they will become Tameh if they're born, if they're carried by a Zav, or Nida, Yoledes, or Zava. Fine. So that was the main point here. In other words, the basic starting point was, the question was asked to Rabbi Shmuel, do these balls become these Lefasin Ironios? Are they susceptible to Tumah? The answer is it depends. Oh, hell no, but a Zav, yes. Okay, now, more than that, there's a machlokus here. Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzadok Omer, Af b'masa ha-Zav tahoros, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, even if a Zav carries these balls before they've been cracked open like eggs, if you will, they remain tahor. Why? Mipnei shelo nigma malachtan. According to him, you still haven't made it into a kli yet. It's like the sealed ball doesn't work yet. It doesn't function as a soup bowl. So therefore, it's not yet a kli. It's not done being made, and therefore it's not susceptible to tumah. That's a general rule, that until the kli is finished, it's not susceptible to tumah. Now, the Tanakhama holds, and the Lach actually follows this, that basically, as far as the villagers are concerned, this is basically, it's good as done, because you just, it's not a consequential, not a significant act to just crack it open. They just, you know, would break it in half, and then you'd have two kind of jagged-edged bowls that work just fine. That doesn't take any effort at all, really, or any skill, and therefore, according to Tanakhama, it's considered a kli already before it's been cracked in half, and that will be the halacha, that it's susceptible to tumah through a zav by heset if he carries it, but it will not be susceptible in ohel hameis, because there's no toch exposed inside.